We continue our study through 1 Peter. As we do that this morning, I want to take us back just a little bit and just review a couple things, beginning with this verse here in chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We're reminded in these verses that if we have faith in Jesus Christ, we've experienced a new birth, a spiritual birth. And with that new birth has come a living hope. And that living hope is alive because it's based on all the promises of God, the sure and certain promises that he gives to us. We can stand firmly on those. And that's the blessing he has for us, promises that include that we're children of his, that we have eternal life, that we are part of his church, that we've received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and much more. So we have those things. And as we come to faith in Jesus Christ, it also comes with responsibility. And we saw this in the chapter 1, verse 15. As he who has called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. God's will for those who are his is to live holy lives, to live lives set apart for him, striving to do his will in whatever way he would have for us. And we've learned through our study of 1 Peter that as we do that, we're going to face suffering. We've seen that in 1 Peter 2:19 and 21. For this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. Also, 1 Peter 4:1, since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. It just means if we are a follower of Jesus, we should understand that part of that involves suffering. So we've seen this throughout our study of 1 Peter. So we know we're going to suffer as followers of Jesus. This morning, we're going to receive six responses that help us as Christians to respond to suffering when it comes. So this morning we've kind of got a real practical message. We're going to look at these six things that we can do when we face suffering. And before we go there, let's go to the Lord one more time and pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that we are here this morning. We're here by your grace and your touch upon our life. We're here because of faith in you, Jesus. We're here because you have called us here, Lord. And this morning you have a word for us. And I pray, Lord, for each one of us that we would have our hearts and minds open and help us, Lord, to remember that this is all rooted in love. It's rooted in the love that you have for us, and it's rooted in the love you would have us to express to others and to you. And so, Lord, just help us as we go to your word now, that we would hear your voice and it would be heard clearly, and in that it would be responded to faithfully. We ask this in your name and for your glory. Amen. So our passage begins this morning with beloved. Peter's writing to brothers and sisters in Christ who he loves. This is also for all of us who have faith in Jesus Christ. All brothers and sisters in Christ for all time, everywhere. And the main topic in this passage this morning is about fiery trials. That's what we're going to be talking about this morning and how we respond to those. This word fiery could also be referred to or translated as painful trials or painful suffering. And this could come, painful suffering comes to our life because we live in a broken world, right? Where there's just a lot of junk, where there's death and disease, where there's broken relationships, where our work is corrupted, where everyone that surrounds us, including ourselves, are sinful people. So with that comes suffering. We also may suffer because of our own sinfulness. When we sin against the Lord, it brings consequences, and sometimes those consequences are painful and go on for a long time. But the suffering that's being referred to this morning is the suffering that comes when we are living holy lives in obedience to the Lord. That's the kind of suffering that is being focused on in this passage. And I want to share some examples. So, for example, as we are faithful to the Lord and living holy lives to him, we can be slandered for that, right? We can be gossiped about. We can get those looks from people like, you're a little crazy, or you've gone off the deep end. I think a lot of times for us in this area, when we think of suffering for our faith, that's the first thing that comes to our mind. But I want to share with us this morning many other examples that are being experienced right now by brothers and sisters in Christ among this church family. Because I want us to understand that the suffering being talked about here, the fiery trials, is much broader than sometimes we realize or understand. So here's some more examples that are fiery trials or suffering for faith. Some of us are currently suffering for our faith because we have loved ones who may not know Jesus, and we carry the burden of their spiritual health and what will become of them if they don't place their faith in Jesus. That's a suffering for our faith in Jesus. Some of us are suffering this morning because we've attempted to provide care for a family member who may not be seeing things clearly right now. We have loved them, and some of that has been rejected. That's because of our faith in Jesus Christ. Some of us are suffering this morning because of choices loved ones are making that we're concerned about that don't align with the will of God. And we're concerned, again, what those consequences will bring. Some of us are suffering this morning because he's called us into situations that is outside of our comfort zone. Some of us are suffering this morning because we just don't fit in very well in our workplaces or our school or other groups that we're part of because we're strangers and aliens in this world. All of those are examples of suffering for our faith in Jesus. So it's very broad here. I just want us to remember that this morning. Anything that we do that's in obedience to Jesus that leads to us experiencing pain or suffering, that's what's being talked about this morning. So again, very broadly, it's aligned with this verse from 2 Timothy 3:12. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted or will suffer. Everyone, all of us, as we are faithful in Jesus, will suffer. So it's part of who we are as followers of Christ. So as we understand that, laying the foundation this morning, we're going to suffer for our faith in Jesus. Now, the rest of our passage this morning is, what do we do when that happens? How do we respond when we face suffering? The first response we see is in verse 12. It says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you." So our first response when we suffer for our faith is, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised, because it's a natural thing of being part of the family of God. It's a little like, it made me think of the Ross family. I'm going to single you guys out this morning. Justin and Kim, if you haven't noticed, they're kind of tall people. When their kids grow up, their boys are probably going to be like 6'6", and the girls are going to be like 6 feet tall. And should they be surprised when that happens? Not at all. The only surprise should be is if they're short. And we laugh about that, but in a very similar way, as sons and daughters of God, we should not be surprised that we suffer for our faith, because it's a characteristic of our family. And we need to understand that. Jesus said this in John 15:20, "A servant is not greater than his master, and if they persecuted me, they will also persecute you." As we respond to the world around us in faithfulness to Jesus, we're going to suffer. And when we suffer, we're tempted not to like it. We're tempted to be discouraged by it, or ashamed of it, or complain about it, or want to be free of it. We need to get past that. We need to get past those attitudes and realize suffering is part of being in the family of God. And until we can accept that, we're going to resist it. But if we can accept it, we can get past the resistance, and we can move on to what God wants to do in it and through it. So that's the first encouragement for us this morning. And this leads to the second one that we see in 1 Peter 4:13-14. But rejoice insofar that you share in Christ's suffering, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you're blessed, because the Spirit of glory and the God rest upon you. So think about some of the suffering you have faced in your life or you're facing right now. Think about that for a moment. Just pause for a moment and think about suffering in your life. And if that suffering is because of your faith in Jesus Christ, this verse is saying, rejoice. Be glad. Be thankful. Be happy that you're experiencing that suffering. That's what this verse is telling us. We can rejoice because suffering affirms that we're part of the family of God and that we're abundantly blessed in many different ways now and even more so later on. Jesus said in Luke 6:22 and 23, blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day. Leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. A number of you know, and some of you don't know because you're younger, but when I was in school, our locker room at Coldwater had a sign above the entrance door that said, no pain, no gain. I don't know if that's still there when it was taken down, but it was just a simple message to us that was telling us if we wanted to be victorious on the field in play, we needed to suffer in preparing for those victories. And in a similar way, that's what we need to do as followers of Jesus Christ. You know, so back then, we needed to suffer as we tried to build up our endurance, to get in top shape. We suffered as we ran plays over and over again. We suffered as we did fundamentals like throwing and hitting a ball or tackling or shooting a basketball. We did them hundreds, if not thousands of times over and over again. We suffered an attempt to win a victory on the field. And we were okay with that. In fact, we even embraced that if we truly believed it would lead us to victory. We enjoyed it. And again, that's what we're being encouraged with this morning. As followers of Jesus Christ, we're going to live in obedience to him, and that's going to lead to our suffering. But when suffering happens, we can rejoice because it's saying here, we can rejoice because the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon us. We can rejoice because we're gaining victory and being blessed in this world. We can rejoice at the ultimate victory we're going to receive when we're in heaven with the Lord. We're being reminded of that this morning. And that reminder comes in verses like 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So this is saying for us right now, we're going to experience pain. As a follower of Jesus, it's going to be painful at times. But it's reminding us that this pain is temporary. It's going to pass, and it's going to pass relatively quickly. And what's going to be on the other side of it? Victory beyond what we can even imagine. Do you think when we are home in heaven, we're going to look back on our suffering here and dwell on that? I don't think we're going to do that for a minute. We're going to be so focused on the amazing blessings that we're experiencing in heaven, we're going to forget completely about the suffering that we went through here. That, again, is what we're being reminded of this morning. Yes, there's some pain now. That pain is going to pass. That leads to great victory. A third response we're to face, or a third response we are to have as we face suffering is found in verse 15. It says, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or a meddler. This is simply saying, let none of you suffer as a sinner. Don't let that be the cause of your suffering. So earlier I asked us to think about our suffering. Think about the suffering you're going through now. Think about the suffering you've gone through in the past. And now I want to ask you to ask yourself the question, Is that suffering because of my own sin? Is that why I suffered? And if it is, then let's take ownership of that. Let's stop whining about it. Let's stop blaming God or someone else for it. Let's accept that and the painful consequences that are coming with it and take responsibility for our own choices. That's what God is calling us to do here. And if we haven't sought the Lord's forgiveness, he wants us to do that. He wants us to not just ask for his forgiveness, but to repent, to turn away from that sin and turn to God in obedience, to own that. At our study on Thursday night, Fred, you shared a great story with us that's a wonderful illustration of this passage. Fred shared a story with us about when he was younger, he drank a lot, like a lot of us did. And that led to other consequences and sin in his life. And he got to the point in his life where he quit drinking completely, gave it up. Sometime after that, somebody told Fred or somebody in his family that they saw Fred out at the bar and he was drunk. And Fred was talking to his dad about this. And his dad was upset, because he knew his son had stopped drinking. He also knew the night that Fred was accused of being out drunk that Fred was with him. He was with his dad that night. So his dad was upset that Fred was being falsely accused. You know what Fred did? Fred said, "Dad, it's okay. It's my own fault because of my past sins. This is part of the consequences that comes with what I did in the past." So Fred owned it. And he was trying to encourage his dad to move on from it, to be free of the pain that it was causing him for what he had done in the past. Again, that's what we're being encouraged here. As followers of Jesus, we're to turn away from sin. But if we fail to do that, we're to own that sin. We're to take responsibility for that sin. We're to ask God's forgiveness, to repent and move on, knowing that we're responsible for that. And the story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15 is an excellent example in Scripture of this. If you know that story, you know that the son was very disrespectful to his father. He asked for his inheritance before his father died, and then he went off and he lived a wild life. But then it goes on to say, when he came to his senses, he thought, maybe I can go back to my father and just be a hired hand there. And so he does. He goes back to his father. He owns his sin against him, and he says this, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." And he meant that. He humbled himself before his father, and he said, "I've sinned against you. I'm not longer being worthy to call your son." His thinking was, maybe you'll hire me as a hired hand. And do you know how his father responded? He showered him with blessings. And that's what God has for us too. If we sin and rebel against him, he will respond to us when we humble ourselves before him, ask for forgiveness, and take ownership of what we've done. Then he'll bless our lives. That's what we are being encouraged here in this third response when we face suffering. A fourth response as we face painful suffering is found in verse 16, as it says, "Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name." So in here, we have two responses. One's a don't and one's a do. The first one, the don't, is we're to not be ashamed. When we face suffering for our faith in Jesus, we're not to be ashamed. We're not to be tempted to be embarrassed or to feel guilty in some way because of our allegiance to Jesus. Let me just throw out an example of this. Let's say we're out with friends, with a group of friends, and they may not be believers, and we're talking to one of our friends, and we have an opportunity to share with them about our faith in Jesus and how he died on the cross to save us. And the response of our friend that we're talking to is kind of like, you get these like little strange looks, and he makes some kind of offhand comments, kind of joking about what we said, and others at this point are listening, and they're starting to laugh too. In those moments, we can be tempted to be embarrassed or ashamed of our faith in Jesus. And here it's saying, don't do that. When you get in that situation, don't be ashamed for witnessing for Jesus. When we're suffering for Jesus and trying to bring glory to him, we're not to be ashamed. We see that in verses like 2 Timothy 1:11 and 12, as Paul wrote, "And of this gospel I was appointed a herald, an apostle, and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am." We've been appointed to be witnesses and ambassadors for Jesus, to live our lives faithfully to him. And if we're suffering for our faith, that is why we're suffering. Just like Paul, what he wrote here. We're also not to be ashamed, because whether others know it or not, when we're witnessing to them, we're holding out to them the gift of life. And that's what Paul meant when he wrote these words in Romans 1:16. "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God for salvation of everyone who believes." Every person in this world has a serious disease called sin. And that disease is going to lead to eternal death unless it's fixed. And the only fix, there's only one way, and that's through faith in Jesus Christ. And we get to share that fix, that medicine, with the rest of the world. And that's certainly nothing we should be ashamed of, is it? Rather than being ashamed, we see in this passage that instead we're to glorify God in that name. We're to glorify God that we have the name Christian as part of who we are. And again, another wonderful example of this comes from Acts. Acts chapter 5, most of you are familiar with it. In that passage, the apostles have been taken before the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin is a council of 70 men who are the leaders of the nation of Israel. And the apostles are taken before them, and the Sanhedrin criticize them, they threaten them, and they severely beat them. These are the leaders of their nation, who the nation tremendously respects. And this is how they respond to the apostles. And the apostles could have been ashamed that they've disappointed their leaders, or they could have been ashamed that they were beaten because other people would have looked down upon them for that. But rather than being ashamed, this is what happens when they left. It says in Acts 5:41, "Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy of suffering dishonor for the name. And every day in temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ." Do you see what's happened here? Rather than being ashamed, these guys wore the scars of their flogging like a badge of honor. They wore the name of Jesus like a badge of honor. And what it did, it spurred them on, and it spurred others on in continuing to be faithful to the Lord. And that's what we are being called to this morning as we face suffering as well. A fifth response we are to have when we face painful suffering is to remember why. Why are we suffering this way? When we face suffering for Jesus, why do we have to face that suffering? 4:17 and 18 tell us, "For it is time for judgment to begin in the house of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner?" So the judgment being spoken of at the very first part of this passage, the judgment to begin at the household of God, is not talking about final judgment. It's talking about the kind of judgment that is God's discipline on our life as his children. And we see this kind of judgment in Hebrews 12:7. "Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons, for what son is not disciplined by his father?" So if father's in here, if we truly love our children, we're going to discipline them, aren't we? We're going to do that because we love them and we want them to grow up to behave well. how much more does our Heavenly Father love us? And how much more is He willing to do what is necessary for us to experience His best? And part of us experiencing His best involves Him allowing discipline that comes through suffering to rest upon our lives. We saw this earlier in our study of 1 Peter in chapter 1. It said, "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, as was necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold and perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." And all of that was just saying, if we go through trials that the Lord permits in our lives, those trials are like a fire. They're a test in our life. And part of that is it's testing the genuineness of our faith. Just like gold is put through the fire to make it more pure. That's what's going on when we face trials in our life that God permits to help us grow in our faith, which also brings great glory and honor to Him. And many of you have experienced this kind of suffering in your life, this kind of trial. I mean, serious trials that have really helped you grow in your faith. You know, Jeff, you've talked about many times, Mary's situation for many years. Mary was sick, and it just gradually got worse and worse. Before Jeff had faith in Christ, he resented that. He was upset that he had to deal with it. After he had faith in Christ, it became something much different. And it led to him growing very much in his faith and Mary growing in her faith and God being greatly glorified. Others, Ron and Karen, as you first heard about Karen's cancer, I remember that. Wasn't good at first, was it? I mean, you guys were like shocked and it was hard. But once you got past that initial shock and accepted the fact you had cancer and trusted the Lord, man, your faith grew and your witness for Christ was powerful. Ryan and Beth, you guys, as you came to faith in Christ and you started making decisions that you know the Lord wanted for you, it wasn't met with approval by some close to you. It was hard for you guys, but you remained faithful. And God grew you in that faithfulness and He used that in a powerful way. And He does that for so many. There's so many in here that are examples of that you just were faithful in the midst of your trial and He grew you. He not only grew you, but He used that in a powerful way as a witness to others. That's part of what God's doing here. He permits that. That's one of the things that we see in Romans. I have Romans 8:23. It should be Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him and been called according to His purpose. And this is just saying, if you're facing a trial in your life, God's working in it for good. So when that happens, our attitude should be, okay, I'm facing this suffering. As long as I keep trusting the Lord, it's going to be good. I know that's hard, but that's what God's word tells us. And that's the response He would have for us. So God permits suffering in our life for our good that leads to His glory. God also permits suffering in our life for the good of others. And that's what we see in this passage. Proverbs 11:3 is being quoted here. It says, "If the righteous are scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and sinner?" What this passage is essentially saying, if believers receive earthly discipline or judgment from God, how much more are unbelievers going to receive eternal judgment from God? If it's hard for the righteous to be saved, only one way through faith in Jesus Christ, how much harder is it for those who reject Christ to be saved? It's impossible. And all of this is just saying to us that, yes, suffering comes on your life, but I'm going to use that suffering to hopefully help lead others to me for my glory. And we have to remember that's part of the why we suffer. So our suffering provides opportunities for others to come to Him. And let me just share a little bit about how all this works. We have certain beliefs as Christians, don't we? If we have genuine faith in Christ, we have beliefs. We say at least we have beliefs. We believe that Jesus died for us, right? We believe that God loves us. We believe God goes before us. We believe that he's going to meet all of our needs, right? But how do we know if we really believe that? It's when we get squeezed. Because when we get squeezed, whatever is in here, whatever is in our heart, is going to be what comes out. So if we truly believe those things, our faith is genuine, we trust God, we believe in him, we know he's there for us, we know he's going to meet our needs. When we get squeezed, that comes out. And that impacts others. That draws them to the Lord. And we see that throughout the history of the church. When there's been the greatest persecution in the church, that's when the church has grown the most and the fastest. Back in the early first and second century, when Christians were dying for their faith, they were being led to the lions. They were being led to being burned at the stake or having their heads cut off or being crucified. And they didn't renounce their faith in Jesus. They stood firm in their faith even as they were being led to their death. And people witnessed that. And do you think those people believed that what they believed they thought was true? They did. They thought, these people really, really believe this. Because that's what's coming out of their life, even as they face death. That impacts people. Our faith in Jesus in the midst of great suffering impacts people, drawing them to him. And that's another reason why we face suffering. Just to quickly wrap things up, we have a sixth and final response that we see in our last verse. Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. This is just simply saying that if you're facing suffering in your life, keep going. If this path of being faithful to Jesus is causing pain and suffering for you, there's really only one thing you can do. Keep going forward. Because any other choice is going to make the situation worse. Keep being faithful. Keep going forward. Just like we see in 2 Timothy 1:12. This is why I'm suffering as I am, yet I'm not ashamed because I know whom I have believed. And I'm convinced that he's able to guard what I've entrusted to him for that day. Paul is talking about himself. God's able to guard us as we entrust ourselves to him. Keep trusting him in the midst of whatever suffering we might be facing. That's God's word for us today. I know suffering isn't easy. It's hard. But God has given us a path to follow when we face that suffering. A path that's going to bless us, bless others, and bring glory to him. Father, we thank you. We thank you again, Lord, for the gift of your word. And as we prayed beforehand, Lord, we know you love us. You have blessed us so abundantly. And you've called us to a life of love. And Lord, part of living that life of love is to respond to suffering in our lives as you would have us to. Father, help us to be faithful. When we face suffering, Lord, help us not to fight it. Help us not to try to run from it. Help us not to reject it, but help us to see it in the light of your truth and to embrace it in the ways you would have us to, Lord. Help us as we suffer, Lord, for our faith to be faithful and to respond as you would have us to, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for the blessing that brings us, for the blessing it brings others, and for how your name is glorified and magnified in the midst of that. And we pray all this in your name, Jesus. Amen.